It's a whole new year. Assuming we have survived the Mayan apocalypse, you are listening to January's episode of the Pop-Matic Podcast. I, for one, am counting on all my human sacrifices paying off, so I think I'll still be around.
That's a good plan.
Speaking of human sacrifices, Amanda is here with us today.
Hello.
Even though we're recording on the same day as our holiday concert.
I'm very tired.
So thank you for sticking it out.
Yeah, that's what I do for my fellow podcasties.
And willing to participate after the come down of performing live. So thanks for sticking around to podcast with us. Bill didn't.
I know, right?
Bill isn't here today. But
Crystal is.
Crystal is here today.
And taking cues nicely.
I'm going to do my best to sucker Clint into talking more.
Right, Clint?
Sucker?
I got to you're kind of like Bill. I got to if I throw you a question, you'll talk. But if not, you're kind of quiet.
Hey, this is your show, man.
Man, I totally see it. You're like,
if you want me to take over, I'll take over.
You said, well, I had to sucker you to get you to talk, and I just did it. I just
did it. Your plan is working.
Yeah, my plan is working. So today we're going to tell you about the things we're looking forward to in 2013, assuming 2013 happens. The books, the music, the movies, the places we hope they'll shoot episodes of Nashville, and what's tickling our fancy. But the things that tickle our fancy will hopefully be things we have here at the library, since the things that we're looking forward to aren't things that the library has yet. Mm. Did that make sense?
Almost.
Somewhat.
Almost. But first, what's happening at the library in January?
Since Bill isn't here, I'm going to tell you about January Movies at Maine. Join us on Saturday, January 12th at 2 p.m. here at the Maine Library. Always in the auditorium. We're going to show Man on a Swing. This is an underrated mystery from the 70s. It's based on a true case. It stars Cliff Robertson as Lee Tucker. He's a small-town police chief working to solve the gruesome murder of a young woman. His case takes a sharp, supernatural turn when a psychic, played brilliantly by Joel Grey, offers his help through startlingly accurate details of the crime scene. Is he a true clairvoyant, or is he the killer? And don't miss Bill's Legends of Film podcast interview with the director of photography of Man on a Swing. That's Adam Hollander. So to recap, Saturday, January 12th, 2013 at 2 p.m. here in the main library auditorium.
So one other event that I want to mention, though any movie with Joel Grey I want to go see, but is Sunday, January 27th at 2:30, there is a writer's circle, and the author that's going to be at the writer's circle is David Moranis, who just wrote the...
Is that Rick's brother?
I was going to ask.
No, he's the presidential biographer, just wrote Barack Obama, the story. And that is like a seriously massive, huge name to have at the writer's circle. And like, they don't say where they're going to have it yet, because I think they might want to change the locations where they normally have it, because he's really famous. And Cecilia Tichy, a professor at Vanderbilt, will be here too. So they'll be talking probably about writing political nonfiction. That'll be a good time. That's January 27th at 2:30 p.m. And I just saw that today, and I was like, wow, that's awesome. Big time authors here at the library.
Just start.
If it's funny, Clint will leave it in.
All right.
But no pressure.
So, even if it's not funny, I'll leave it in.
Sure. So if you've listened to our podcast, you know that I'm a fan of Joe Hill, Stephen King's son, and his next novel is coming out April 30th, I believe is the date, and it's titled Nosferatu. And when you see an image of the book cover, that's like the license plate NOS4A2, which is pretty cool. And I have read a little teaser. There was a short story that came out this fall that I had to buy online. But when you bought the short story, it was called In the Tall Grass, and it was co-written by father and son, Stephen King and Joe Hill. And within that, you got a little teaser for Nosferatu and for Dr. Sleep, which if Bill were here today, I think he was going to talk about. That's the continuation of The Shining, and I believe that is coming out in the fall of 2013. But back to Nosferatu. Here's the little blurb that I've got online. Victoria McQueen has a secret gift for finding things, a misplaced bracelet, a missing photograph, answers to unanswerable questions. And when she goes over a covered bridge, it takes her wherever she needs to go. Then Charles Manx has a way with children. He likes to take them for rides in his Rolls Royce. With his old car, he can slip right out of the everyday world and onto the hidden roads that transport them to an astonishing and terrifying playground he calls Christmas Land. So one day, Victoria and Charlie Manx cross paths. Now, the only kid to ever escape Manx's evil, that's Victoria, she's all grown up and desperate to forget. But Charlie Manx is after her and her son. So we'll just have to wait for a few more months to read Nosferatu. So, Amanda, what are you looking forward to?
I've got a couple. The first one I'm going to talk about is actually a young adult book. It's by Veronica Roth, and I don't remember when the first one came out. Maybe 2011, I think. And I picked it up like right before the second one came out. The first one was called Divergent. The second one was called Insurgent, I believe. And it left us on this huge cliffhanger. Like, we finally got like a bunch of questions answered, but then she brought up a whole bunch more of where the story's going to go. And the next book, the book is not titled yet. It's not expected until September, so we've got a little bit of a wait for it. And it's, if you're a Hunger Games fan, you probably would enjoy this series. I think Crystal and I have both read it. I don't know that Brian has, but so yeah, the third book in the Divergent series from Veronica Roth. Okay, Brian, what's on your list?
What's on my list is a young adult title too, but I wanted to say that Divergent won the Goodreads. Mm-hmm. Choice Awards the year it came out.
Which is why I read it. And then I thought it was this whole big series, and then the second one came out like the week after I finished reading it. So that worked out nicely.
Yeah. And what won this year was The Casual Vacancy. but it wasn't in the same category.
No, that was the overall, I think, fiction. But she only won because it was her.
Probably. We can talk about that later. But so I wanted to talk about, and this came out in 2012, but I didn't have a chance to read it, but I'm going to read it in 2013. But it's Hope Larson's graphic novel interpretation of A Wrinkle in Time.
I saw the picture for that.
Which is also categorized as a young adult novel. And, of course, it's based on the children's classic by Madeleine L'Engel. And Hope Larson is just a really amazing graphic artist and probably the perfect person to do A Wrinkle in Time. Her art style is really well, and she's really good at writing girls. I mean, she's a woman. I think her head is in the right space.
Nicely.
Yeah, and I actually had the book checked out. It's on amazing paper. It feels great, and there's only like two colors. Well, three, I guess. There's white and blue and black, and it just looked amazing, and I'm really looking forward to that. So when I find time, that's going to fit that in there. But what else you got?
Okay, True Blood fans, here it comes. This is the last book in the Suki Stackhouse series by Charlene Harris. Comes out in May. It's called Dead Ever After. So we're finally going to find out, will Suki become a vampire? Is she going to go live in Fairyland? Is she going to hook up with Eric? We may not get answers to these questions, but this is our last shot at it. So looking forward to Dead Ever After in May.
And it's about time that series is
done. That series has struggled since the TV show came out and took it in a completely different direction. But yeah.
For sure.
So are we going to go on record and say that the TV show like hurt the series negatively? Like after the TV show came out?
I don't think that she would have lasted as long if she hadn't had the TV show, because I think interest would have waned because her books have gotten fillery.
Blah.
Yeah. Just like you read the whole book and you're like, okay.
And I think if you started with the series, it's definitely not going to appeal as readers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think.
You mean if you started with the series and liked it, you're not going to like the TV show? Or do you mean if you started
If you started the TV series, you're not going to like the books.
Oh, okay. I get you.
TV show's a little rowdier.
So is the TV show Nashville going to make the music scene here in the city? Blah.
I haven't watched the TV show, but only if you play at the fake Cooper.
I'm sorry.
We need to quit our jobs and start the Nashville tour.
I was told that I should mention that show as much as possible because it's good for the city economically. So I just plug it as much as I can. So do you have another book?
I was just going to briefly mention, too, kind of in the same category as the Suki book, the Rachel Morgan Hallows series by Kim Harrison has another book. I tried to find out. Part of me thought this was the last book in her series because her series has been going on just about as long as the Suki books. Or as, what's his name, says Suki.
Yeah,
I would call her Suki because that's where I live. But so the next book of the Kim Harrison series comes out in January, actually, Ever After. Sounds like it could be the last one. I can't back that up, but I'm definitely going there.
Radical. So the other thing that's coming out that's a book that I care about is part of the series, too. And it's William Vollman's Seven Dreams series. So finally, he's going to have another volume in that. And for us longtime podcast listeners, William Vollman is writing a novelization of the history of the United States from prehistoric times to present. And I think he's five volumes in now, but he's not doing them. He's not releasing them in chronological order at all. And the last one that he released was Argyle, which was his retelling of the Jamestown colony and John Smith and Pocahontas, but he wrote it in like 17th century language, and it was like 800 pages long.
I was gonna say it was probably thick.
yeah, but this one is set in 1877 during the Nez Perce War, and now I'm drooling about it. And I found actually his agent's website, it doesn't have a release date yet. It's called The Dying Grass, and he said basically it's just a lot of it's gonna be told in dialogue. And it's like almost like as if he was writing a play. In other words, like a genre novel as opposed to like an historical tone. And so now I'm really super excited because I think that'll be interesting to see what Vollman does. Because his books are like history books as much as they are novels. And when I first started talking about Vollman here on the podcast, I was new to his work. And I was really sort of excited about him. And since then, I've read other stuff. And some of it has been really amazing. And some of it sort of not done anything for me. It's kind of either or. And then this weird thing happened too where I learned that when he started, he was sort of like a punk author, like anti-establishment, had this reputation. He wrote a lot about homeless people and sex workers and was like, you know, just like definitely like, you know, outside the box.
Sounds like a Brian book.
Oh, well, it's like outside the box outsider artist. But I didn't come to him that way. I came to him after he had already won a National Book Award for Europe Central, which was about, you know, the war on the Eastern Front in World War II. But then I go back into his career. It's funny. Normally, it works the opposite way. Normally, like, you're into an artist that's underground or, like, not known, and then they sort of get more commercial. But my experience with him has sort of been the reverse. And now I realize how truly, like, bizarre and weird it is that he made a speech at, like, the National Book Award ceremony and was introduced by Garrison Keillor. Like, that is just, that is just so beyond and bizarre. But I'm super excited about this book now that I know what it's about. And the Seven Dreams series by William Vollman, The Dying Grass.
Is that it?
Well, I hear one time Clint said to me, we were talking about William Vollman, and you said, you know, some people are just smarter than us. And at the time, I didn't really think that way. Not that he wasn't smarter than me. Not that I think I was as intelligent as him. It's not what I thought when I was read him. He's just another good author. But, I mean, now that I'm, like, more into his work, I just think, yeah, like, something
he's there's on another plane.
That dude has there's a notch in his brain that is not in my brain, so
I'm kind of okay with that.
Well,
I don't need that notch.
Like for me, it's just his how prolific he is. Like, I mean, you can only write so many like 1,000-page like historical novels, which are acclaimed for their detail and accuracy, along with like art books and books of poetry and prints. Like, just constantly turning out stuff. And then he constantly travels all around the world to, like, he's one of these, like, guys that's like, well, this is the coldest place on Earth. This is a war zone or there's toxic radiation there. He's one of those guys that goes in backpacks and then writes about it. So he's doing all that. And then he's also writing these, like, super duper, like, long, detailed novels. So it's like, I want whatever he's having. I want one of those because he doesn't need someone on him to, like, you know, stay focused, so.
What I find weird is he doesn't drive. And how does somebody...
You can't drive if you're riding all the time.
I don't know.
You got to have a driver.
How do you... I don't know. I don't...
So the other way to Vollman, he was in Yugoslavia during the wars when the states were collapsing. And he was in the back of a car with his friend, and his friend was shot while they were in the car together. And he's written about that. And he
shot
was
dead or just shot?
oh yeah, died, shot dead. But it's not. I can't remember. I can't remember because I don't really care about this mythology. But it maybe makes for a better podcast. But yeah, he was writing it. This kind of personal mythology. It's like, well, and this was like, well, that sounds really cool. It's like, well, if you backpack in a war zone, you might get shot. So his friend was shot dead next to him in a car in Yugoslavia. Wow. And then also his first book was a nonfiction book about his travels with the Mujahideen in Afghanistan whenever they were fighting the Soviets. For whatever reason, he decided that he was going to go to Afghanistan because he was compelled to, right? Remember, he has the brain thing that's different than mine. And so he went there, and he lived with Mujahideen, who were fighting the Soviets. And, of course, we know what happened, what they did later.
Yeah, that worked out well.
Yeah, so he wrote a book about it. And now, like, that book is, like, really, like, it's crazy, like, I don't know. He was onto something, right? He knew that there was something important happening there. There you go. There's some Volman mythology for you. All right. Let's talk about music.
I like music.
Everything is musical.
Music is my friend.
You can start.
Okay, since it's my friend.
Yeah.
So I think we talked on the last podcast about the civil wars and their irreconcilable differences that they're having currently and canceling tours and whatnot. But they did promise that 2013 was going to have some new music from them. So that's one of the, I don't know what we call them anymore, downloads, releases, music coming.
Bootlegged outtakes of them fighting. Wait, so I just got to go back. On the last podcast, I don't know if you caught this, but you mixed up Civil Wars and the name of their album, Barton Hollow. Did you know that?
Did I miss? Yeah. I do that in my head all the time.
So you mixed that up. And we just kind of let it go. And you fixed it later in post. So
Clint's nodding his head yes.
I took another where you said Civil Wars and put it.
Yeah. And you made it sound really good.
Okay. I'm so smart. I didn't
We almost left it in there, though.
You should have. It would have been funnier. Well, I do that all
the time. I was confused, and I was like, what is she talking about? Is this like, I've never heard of this band.
I very subtly tried to correct you, but you didn't get it, right? But... And then it was later, Clint was like, should I fix that? I was like, just let it go. We'll pick on her about it.
That's good because that makes for MC more mythology.
So anyway,
Barton Hollow was their first album, and Civil Wars was the band, and they're fighting, and they may have new music in 2013. So that's all I really wanted to say.
Hey, listen, if they're fighting, it's going to be a good record.
I know, right?
Right.
Exactly. I'm with you, though, on the outtakes of the fighting. You are.
Their Twitter feed, they just posted a picture of the two of them and Taylor Swift and T-Bone Burnett. I guess this was when they wrote the song. Was it in the Hunger Games soundtrack?
I think so. Yeah, they had something in that.
So that was an old photo. Just saying.
But there's someone still around to tweet it. The other album that I'm looking forward to, an old standard of mine, Straight No Chaser, I just saw them live here recently, and they've got a new pop album. It's not a lot of their stuff has been Christmas that's come out. This is just a regular pop album that they said early 2013, so we don't know exactly when, and I don't know what it's called, but I'm looking forward to that one too. And I don't know who to pass it to. Brian's pointing at Crystal.
All right. So far, there's just one record I'm really excited about. I am going to two shows in January, the XX and Morrissey, so I'm super excited to see both of them. But anyway, back to albums. Tom York, Radiohead, his super group, Atoms for Peace. Their, I guess it's a debut album, comes out February 26th. It's called Amok. Looks like 9 tracks so far.
Who's in the super group?
So it's the Radiohead producer, Nigel Godrich, Red Hot Chili Peppers bassist Flea, and a couple percussionists that I'm not familiar with them. I'd have to look them up. Joey Warunker and Mauro Refosco. And you can go online. There's an hour and a half concert that they did around the time that Tom York's Eraser came out that you can watch. And there's a couple, I guess, at least one track so far. They've posted Default, which is track 2 on the album. You can listen to on the Atoms for Peace .info website. So I'm super excited, and maybe just, they'll tour too.
Just to clarify, that's Adams, ATOMS, not Adams, ADAMS.
That is correct.
Although the second title might be more fun, but
yeah. All right. So yeah.
Does that mean that Thom Yorke's getting lead singer disease if he has a solo side project?
No, because Johnny Greenwood's doing film scores and, you know, they all got other stuff going on, right?
Yeah. Did anyone see The Master?
I did.
What'd you think?
I don't know. I'm still on the – I don't know what to think about it.
What'd you think of the score?
The score is
that Johnny Greenwood did, right?
I'm not – I don't hear nor there about it.
I'm just not suckering you into talking ever. It's a total punt. That was a total punt. Thumbs up, yes or no, man. Siskel and Ebert have a system. It works okay.
Which would work better if you were a visual medium.
I don't really remember it. Let's just say that.
I'm going to say that has to be a thumbs down.
Then I think that would be probably thumbs down, but.
I didn't like the score that he did for There Will Be Blood, but I'm a curmudgeon.
You don't like anything.
William Vollman reading the weirdo. Thom Yorke, Adams for Peace. Crystal's annoyed.
She was not annoying. She was happy-go-lucky.
She was talking about her music pick, and I started talking to Clint about movies. You said Johnny Greenwood does soundtracks, so I wanted to just talk about soundtracks that he did.
Of course, that was a good.
Yeah,
and then I punted.
That's right.
He's been doing the soundtracks for Paul Thomas Anderson's films. Yeah, the last two Paul Thomas Anderson films, There Will Be Blood and The Master.
Even though There Will Be Blood, I thought it was music that he had already made for something else.
It sounded that way to me.
Regifter, I like it.
So I think that's the reason why it couldn't get, like, best score.
Sounded that way to me. When I watched that movie, it's like, boy, someone's just playing a record in the background.
It's low budget.
I'm serious about it like that. That's the way it sounded. I'm done being grumpy for now.
It's Christmas. You can't be grumpy.
Wait a minute, it's January.
Oh, it's January, so you can't be grumpy.
Yeah, I know.
You just broke the wall right there.
The Mayan calendar is reset.
Wait, I just said the book I'm looking forward to is a long historical novel about the Nez Perce War. That's like one of the most like bitter, like brutal, hateful like wars like in the history of America, of like war of like painful, like bloody retribution between like natives and Americans. It's not good. Anyway.
Sounds good to me.
Are you looking forward to music or?
Nothing comes to mind. I'll just sort of punt, halfway punt again, just like in the wrinkle in time. Scott Walker just released a record a couple weeks ago. Haven't got a chance to listen to it yet. I've talked about Scott Walker before. Really, Bish Bosh, new Scott Walker. Haven't heard it yet. Really, I'm interested with that. Yeah, got to get.
Best of 2012.
Yeah, I mean, he'll make
critics list.
He's always going to be on those
Shooting guys.
For those, yeah.
And I'm like, I mean, I actually own it, and I still haven't even listened to it. So
you should have a listening party.
Well, I guess there's. I'm really, really super anxious to see what Grimes will do next, because Grimes has went from underground to super like popular and critically acclaimed, and she's totally naive and not ready.
Maybe that'll make for good music.
It's going to be interesting to see what comes
Britney
next.
Britney Spears meltdown?
She started with half of her head shaved.
She's halfway there, you know?
I don't know. Where do you go? But let's go talk about some visual media. Who wants to go first?
I went first last time.
I went first.
First
books.
Time. Brian's turn. So.
I'm super duper excited about the next two seasons of American Horror Story, because the first.
So it's renewed for two more seasons.
It's renewed. Well, let's go. I'm always sort of behind because I'm a nerd and not with it. So I just saw the first season. I know that we're right in the middle or coming towards the end of the second season on TV, but I just watched the first season. The library just got the first whole season on DVD, which you can – the seasons from the library now you can check out for 3 weeks at a time on one loan period. Which is super cool. So I just got through the first season of American Horror Story, and now I'm really excited about getting season two and season three, or absorbing them at some point throughout the next year. And I might want to see season two so bad that I buy it and watch it on Amazon.
Ooh.
Yeah, just to get a hold of it, because I kind of want to see what they do next. It's just really interesting that they're trying to make a TV show, a horror show, that's not episodic, like Tales from the Crypt or The X-Files or the Twilight Zone, you know, that's not self-contained, that it's an arc over, like, but they don't do, like, Bill said he's tired of, like, 22 episodes. Mm-hmm. I think they're pretty smart. It was only 12. But for those not in the know, family goes to a house. The house is cursed. If you're killed in the house, your ghost stays in the house. Then it gets into which ghost, who's a ghost, who's not a ghost, which ghosts are malevolent, which ghosts are benign, you know, like who's, you know, it's like, you know, and there's all this confusion. And it is really horrible. Like, it's scary and gruesome and sexy.
You're
and,
not selling me on this, Brian.
Well, I've told you that you
even
would.
Connie Britton?
Connie Britton wouldn't sell me on this one.
So I have told you that. You know, you should watch The X-Files. You would like it.
Yes.
And this movie called The Ginger Snaps that I wrote about on the blog, which the library finally has copies of. Put your hold back on it if you took your hold off. The copies, we have them. They're circulating. You would like that movie. This, no. Do not go there, right? There are axes. There are, you know, like sex crimes. This is TVMA. It's not for kids.
No, not for children.
Now I'm confused. A lot of people have made a lot about Jessica Lange's performance, and I think Crystal is into Jessica Lange's performance. And it is very good, but she's this Southern Belle who's evil, right? And she's, like, mean and racist and classist and totally out for herself. I'm just like, I'm just tired of that stereotype. Mm-hmm. Like, why, if you're, like, a woman in front of the South, that means you're evil? Like, I don't get that. But okay, I'm just calling them on.
Bless her heart.
I'm just calling them on this stereotype, right? And, of course, the family that moves in, is they're from New England, right? And they're, like, kind of upper middle class, and they're perfect and nice. But then the single Southern mother is evil, right? And why does she have a Southern accent, even though she's lived in Los Angeles for 50 years? The point I'm getting at, it's I enjoyed it a lot. It's mostly style over substance. I could get into the things that work or don't work, but it is super slick looking. And this, the best credits I've seen in a long time at a TV show, but I found out the people that did the credits are this production company called Prologue, and they also did the credits for The Walking Dead, you know, where they start.
Well, I can't watch that either.
Well, yeah, but like, do you ever see the credits for The Walking Dead where it starts with the eyeball and it zooms out? So they did that too, and then they also did the credits for Seven, you know, the credits for Seven, so like, and if you Wikipedia them, they have this awesome list of movies that they did, but I'm thinking, it's like, this looks like the credits from Seven. But even the way the credits sneak in, because you know there's always that little, like, teaser part for the show, like a TV show, and then it will go to the credits. Well, nowadays, how they do shows. Mm-hmm. But the way that they sneak to the credits is always so seamless and creepy and weird. And the credits themselves are like Wisconsin Death Trip inspired. And the music is, like, truly, like, industrial and experimental on the credits. Like, there's no melody. It's just really cool. I love it. I think it's also, the plot gets really super convoluted, because if you die in the house, you're a ghost in the house. And by episode 3, there's at least 16 murders that you know of. And by the end of the show, there are probably about 30. So I kind of felt like it was like Lost, but instead of being trapped on an island, you're trapped in the house.
And you're already dead, so it can't be purgatory.
Yeah. And then it's made by the folks who did Glee. It was like their next show. So
that's an obvious progression from, you know, high school Glee Club nerds to ghost in a house.
I could go that it really actually totally makes sense to me, but that's too complicated for this podcast. It's too long. But I really enjoyed that first season, even though it was flawed, and I'm looking forward to what they do. And you should go, because then we can talk about Star Trek.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I've just got a couple movies that I've seen here previews for lately. The first one is the new Oz movie, and I am completely drawing a blank on who the guy is that's playing Oz. Because I want to say Johnny Depp, but I don't
James Franco.
James, okay, thank you. Thank you, Clint. That's why we leave him in the booth. I should remember Mia Kunis is the one woman he wanders around Oz with. Part of me was a little bit annoyed when I heard that they were making another Oz movie, because I'm like, really, they need to make another one? Haven't there been 90,000 bajillion smazillion movies about this storyline? But it really does look like it's a kind of a different take, and James Franco's everywhere right now, so he might as well get his 15 more hours of fame. So that one, I think it's coming out fairly soon.
March.
I was going to say March. So that's why I keep Clint. He's just got those facts, right?
I just saw the trailer yesterday. So
yeah. Well, yes. So that's Oz. Is it called The Great and Powerful Oz?
I have no idea.
Oh,
let me down. You were 3 for 3.
I can give you trivial stuff.
That's okay. So I think it's called The Great and Powerful Oz, but it's very exciting. And, of course, the other one I'm looking forward to, having seen the first Hobbit, I'm looking forward to the second Hobbit. And I kind of wish it was the final Hobbit and not part one of 74. But I think this part's going to have the dragon in it, and he looks really cool. So that's awesome. What I'm looking forward to.
Did James Franco just play William Burroughs, or he's going to play William Burroughs in what?
He's done everything.
He played Ginsburg in...
Why do I think he's going to play... Who's playing William Burroughs? Some actor that I like is playing William Burroughs.
Viggo Mortensen is playing Burroughs in On the Road.
Yeah. Okay. That's fun. Awesome. That's awesome. I want to see that. But James Franco is also in Harmony Korine's new movie, Spring Breakers.
Spring Breakers.
Well, it's nice that he's gotten back to movies and has gotten off the soap opera that he was on for a while.
He's got a book of poetry coming out.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a gay porno film
coming out. Him and Volma need to go on a cruise where they just relax for a while.
Oh, and he's also got the adaptation of A Child of God, the Cormac McCarthy novel that he wrote and directed that he just shot.
He has that same notch in his brain.
Yeah, what is... Some of those are mediocre. That writing he puts out, I bet it's bad.
Oh, I bet it's awful.
Yeah.
But he seems like a cool guy. He was in Freaks and Geeks.
That's right.
So.
He was in Spider-Man.
Okay. Who do you relate to in Freaks and Geeks?
I've never watched Freaks and Geeks.
You've never watched Freaks and Geeks?
I can't think of the character. Linda Cardellini's character. She's the...
She's like the main girl. Yeah, what's her name?
Yeah, that always had the army jacket on.
So the lead character.
Yeah, the lead character.
I didn't remember.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kim Kelly.
I don't know.
I think that was the blonde. It was James Franco.
Girl?
I think
that's
what her name was.
Okay. Yeah.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
You were Seth Rogen, weren't you?
I didn't relate to anybody on that show.
Oh. So it was a trick question.
Yeah, totally. When I watched The Breakfast Club in my youth, I related to Judd Nelson. But now that I'm an adult, I realize I was actually Ally Sheedy. So who do you relate to in The Breakfast Club?
I don't know anything. I've seen The Breakfast Club one time.
I was totally Ally Sheedy.
Never liked it.
Yeah, I was very awkward in high school, Ally Sheedy, for sure.
Oh, we all became librarians. Awesome. Okay. So what movies?
Typecast.
I was a dumb redneck as a kid, so just, none of those.
Judd Nelson.
Who said Judd Nelson? We just totally dated ourselves with Breakfast Club, by the way.
Anyway.
What were you going to say?
I was trying to think of the character of Martin Sheen's son. And I can't think of his name.
Emilio Estevez.
But he was a jock, not a redneck.
Yeah, he was a jock. Yeah.
He should have replaced Charlie Sheen on 2.5 Men. And they shouldn't...
They shouldn't have no notice.
And they shouldn't have changed the name or the character or anything. They should have just put him in.
Just got the other Sheen brothers.
And just kept going. But okay. Yeah. But
I would have watched that.
It would have been a total, right?
You need to work at TV.
Actually, it would have been the perfect, family intervention.
Yeah.
You'd be like, come on, dude. You got to stop snorting.
And they could have made, little comments like he's shorter or something in the script. Yeah, that would have been.
Do you look different? Did you do something with your hair? No. I started going to a different salon. Put in the laugh track,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. New shampoo.
That's great. That show is so bad, even the kid that stars
in
it doesn't want to be on it anymore.
He hates it.
Okay. Alternative, you could watch Big Bang Theory, right? Better show?
It is a better show. I don't know when it's on.
Okay.
I'm just on Thursday.
I'm just saying,
now.
We're having fun, making fun of this other show. What's a good sitcom you could watch, right?
Big Bang Theory. Mike and Molly. That one's good, too.
Okay.
All right, so...
we lost her again.
A TV show that I'm looking forward to, I just thought of while Brian was talking TV, Hannibal, I think it starts... It's a mid-season replacement, or maybe it's going to even come on in the summer. I'm not sure. I have to look it up online. But Brian Fuller, who did Pushing Daisies, created it. And I'm kind of excited about that. Because it's got a great cast. Eddie Izzard, Molly Shannon, I think Kevin Bacon, and I'm blanking on the
I'm
other.
Waiting. Come on. You know what I'm waiting for?
James Franco.
Yeah.
He's in everything else.
That's right.
Not some loser with a crustache, okay?
Oh.
Gillian Anderson is going to be in that.
Yeah, yes.
I like her, too.
She's no Connie Britton, but...
If you saw the Artober display, you would have seen Brian's tribute to Gillian Anderson. But movie I'm looking forward to, the next Star Trek movie, Star Trek Into Darkness. I think it opens May 17th. And don't really know what to say other than Benedict Cumberbatch is the villain. I don't know if he'll have a British accent, but villains usually do, right?
All the good ones.
And I liked the first new Star Trek movie, and some of the people in the room here did not.
Clint.
Boo!
But
Spock looks like a kid playing Spock. It's like a pudgy Spock. Wait,
that was Zachary Quinto, right?
Yeah. Yes, who and was in
American Horror Story. Yeah.
Oh, Heroes. Right?
He should stay
and
Heroes.
There.
Heroes. So, yeah, Brian, do you have thoughts on Star Trek Into Darkness?
I didn't like the trailer. I mean, I feel like, okay, there's this villain comes. It's like, it could be a good movie, but the trailer I thought was like Hollywood action movie-ized. The one thing about the Star Trek reboot was, one thing I really liked about the script was how they worked in it being an alternative universe into the script as opposed to just letting it be an alternative universe, like what they did with the new Spider-Man movie that was just like, let's just tell the Spider-Man movie over. Even though I think that actually could be good because that happens with comics all the time. Mm-hmm. Like inside like comic book canon, superheroes get rebooted all the time and they're, you know, that changes and there's alternate universe. So it's, I don't necessarily think that it's a bad thing that that's happening. The canons are getting confused inside movies now with the same heroes. That's interesting. Of course, Star Wars will turn to crap now that Disney owns it, and you get sued if you try to make a fan movie.
I think it was already there.
Yeah, already there. Right, yeah.
Too far to go.
Jar Jar Binks and all that stuff.
Fair statement, for sure.
Yeah, so I like that. Interesting for me, and in relation to this podcast, is that the two guys who did Lost, which were David Lindelof and J.J. Abrams, they have gotten the reins of the two of the biggest sci-fi franchises in the world, Star Trek and Aliens, and that was after the success of Lost. So I kind of feel like that's a win for, like, soft science fiction. I think the hard, nerdy science fiction guys are sort of probably butthurt about that, that the sort of more, like, soft, psychological, more, like, theological-leaning science fiction is sort of winning the day as far as Hollywood is concerned. Though, if the results are Prometheus in that first Star Trek movie, congratulations. But I want to say it's because me and Clint didn't like the first Star Trek movie. Everybody else in the universe did, including alternate universes. Me and Clint are alone in a basement with no heat, reading William Vollman, and the rest of everyone else.
Watching Jim Franco.
Everyone else is at the Bluebird Cafe, like knocking back martinis with Taylor Swift, talking about how cool the Star Trek movie was. I promise you, we're on our own here with this one. So, yeah. I think that's all I got. Oh, movies that are coming out. I'm trying to think. Spring Breakers. Yeah, I forgot about that. But I definitely am super excited about that, though it could be awful. Trash Humpers was pretty awful. So
it's getting good word.
From who?
So from
that one guy. Some.
The same people that put any Scott Walker record, no matter what, exactly. On the top of their best of list.
That's basically who it's coming from.
I'm excited about the new Scott Walker. On that note. You conscientious listeners will notice that we ran out of time. We can't do Tickle My Fancy, but I was going to cheat anyway and just talk about the same things I talked about in the first segment. So
I already talked about 84 things, so I'm
yeah.
Okay.
But I guess we talked about enough stuff. The library has to have some of it, right? I'll try to go back and listen and link to anything that the library has.
So
talked about.
Like the books I talked about, they're part of a series, and the library has the series. So if you're behind,
yeah.
I got one quick
up.
Tickle My Fancy.
Yeah, yeah,
it's something in the collection. If you like sketch comedy, you must watch Key and Peele. It's Keegan-Michael Key and Jordan Peele, whom you probably would recognize from Mad TV if you ever watched that. It is so funny, and we need a laugh right now, given some of the things that have happened in the world.
The January-ness of life.
Key and Peele Season 1. We have 3 copies. There's not a whole queue right now. So
there's 4 of us in this room, so now there will be.
Well, one's already at my house because Crystal told me to check it out last week.
And then Brian's going to hate it, I guess.
I've seen some of their stuff online. I've liked it. So we'll see. Yeah. Well, but hey, back to American Horror Story. one of the characters in that is a school shooter. So it's that first season of American Horror Story just all of a sudden, if it's possible, has even more gravity and weight. Though, I'll just leave it there.
Already scary.
That's real happy. Bye.
Oh, man.
Happy New Year, everybody.
February's will all be about Valentine's Day.
Unicorns and hearts.
I like that, totally.
Kitty
yeah.
cats.
So, yeah, the third book in the Divergent series from Veronica Mars.